Before I get started, I'd like to thank everybody here for giving me the opportunity to preach a series of lessons. I know after listening to me talk for 4 weeks that on the same topic, it can get kind of repetitive after a while, but it's good to see everybody with their Bibles out, taking notes, and paying attention tentatively throughout all of these sermons. Then, of course, I'd also like to thank Mr. Jeff for studying with me on a couple of these sermons, then giving up his time to allow me to present some of these lessons. 4 weeks is a lot of time to give out of way for a young person, and I'm just thankful that he's given me the opportunity to present God's Word to you all. And as you can tell, it is the last week of the series on why we continue in sin. Going to briefly go over the last two smaller sections that we have, and then going to summarize the series at the end. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the first attitude or mindset that may come over us on that we lie to ourselves. Some people just have a knack for being able to talk people into whatever they want them to do, manipulating people to use them for personal gain. But at times we can do the exact same thing with sin, talking ourselves into committing a certain sin, lying to ourselves, trying to tell our mind that it's all right to do this sin, manipulating our mind into thinking that sin is okay to do. In Hebrews chapter 3, and in verse 13 is where we will begin today. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin does that to us. It entices us to lie to ourselves and is so deceitful, thinking that we are able to handle the sin, talking ourselves out of doing what is right, and finding ourselves caught up in sin. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We keep telling ourselves that we know God and are of God, and that we're on a path that will get us to heaven. But really, we're only deceiving ourselves, and we keep telling ourselves that there's no need for change in the way that we are acting, when really at times we can be so caught up in sin that we've been deceiving ourselves the whole time. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. No matter what we think the Bible may say, we always have to check it for truth and double check what we're talking about so we don't get confused with our word and what God's word actually says. We cannot make the Bible say what we want it to say. It's pretty easy to keep living in sin and lying to ourselves if we're not sure exactly what God's word actually says, deceiving ourselves. We always have to be reading verses like this one to know that we cannot twist the Bible into saying what we would have it to say. In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And beginning in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So many times we think that we are doing what is right, when really we're simply deceiving ourselves. And one very helpful thing that Mr. Jeff gave to me was a poem. And the poem is called It's Only. And I'll read this poem and I'd ask that you just listen to this. It's called It's Only by Norma Sue Lott. It's only sex, she said to me. It's only the loss of innocence. It's only a child born to a child. It's only a child in an abortion mill. It's only drugs, she said to me. It's only heroin, cocaine, meth, and pot. It's only the loss of innocence. It's only a brain damaged in ICU. It's only spending time in jail. it's only the future of our country. I don't like the world of it's only. It is a scary place. It's only pixels on a computer screen. That is what pornography is. It's only images, forever burned into your memory. It is truly the loss of innocence. It is the rotten fruit of degradation. It is a poison in the soul that eats away at the heart. It is the fuel of the ungodly lust and sordid desire. It is someone's daughter, someone's mother. It is not a sin where no one gets hurt. It is adultery in the heart. It leads to death and destruction. It is a multi-billion dollar industry. I don't like the world of it's only. It is a scary place. And it goes to show with this poem that we can lie to our, why lying to ourselves is so dangerous, that it's only a sin. Telling ourselves that at this point one more sin won't hurt, but we're only lying to ourselves and deceiving ourselves just to continue in sin, which is such a waste of time, lying to ourselves when there's no gain for us in the end. Moving on to the last section of secret sins. Secret sins, the sins that are done in secret, where we think that are all right because nobody is around to see us do them. We do them in secret, hiding away from others so that we can continue in sin. Since we don't get caught, we're able to continue right through on in sin. Not a whole lot of new points to talk in this section, but still some smaller things that I still want us to be able to get from this section. And because we have to be cautious about falling into the attitude of secret sins. Over in Psalms chapter 94. Psalms chapter 94, and starting in verse 7. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge? God gave us all that we have today, and it would be foolish to think that he is not going to be watching over us, and he to see all that we are doing, because God is constantly watching over us, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes of him to whom we must give an account. No matter how hard we try, there is no escaping from God. He is able to see all the things that we do on this earth. And why we cannot try to do sins in secret and try and get away with them is just foolish to do that, because God is watching over us constantly, as it says in this verse. All the sins that we do on earth, we're held accountable for every single one of them that we do. Over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. All of the sins that we commit are going to be exposed at one point or another, whether on earth by somebody that we know catching us in the act, or up in heaven above by God himself. Everything that we do today here on this earth, in secret or in plain sight, we're going to have to give an account for. In Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, and in verse 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And also look over in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on the lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Those times where we sin and think that we got away with it because nobody found out what we did, God knows what we did do. God is watching over us, and sooner or later, those sins are going to be revealed. We have stopped living in sin with whatever mindset or attitude we struggle with, because God is watching over us constantly, and sins are going to be exposed. Those are all the mindsets that I have to talk about. I know that there is an open box left on the handouts. You can use that for your personal study. Maybe there's still one more that you struggle with, and another mindset, or you just want to continue to take notes on other mindsets that you may face that cause you the sin. You can use that box for your personal study. Before I'm talking about why we continue in sin, there are still some things that I want us to look over real quick. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 19. They promised them liberty. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Why do we continue in sin? We've looked over 9 different attitudes and mindsets that we may face that may cause us to continue in that sin. Hopefully this has got you thinking of some problems that you may face in your spiritual life, and that maybe you have found those ways to change some of those problems that you have been stuck with. We have to first start by changing our ways, though. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13. starting in verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know now that you are not disqualified. Starting in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. In this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Sometimes we have to first stop for a second in our busy lives and examine ourselves. See where we're at along our spiritual life, whether we need to make minor changes or need to have some major changes in our life be made. We need to do whatever it takes to follow God and get us to heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We always need to be following Christ's example. When we are following Him in our lives, we are doing what is right, and we are walking in the light, as it says over in John chapter 8. Book of John, chapter 8, and in verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. One of the previous attitudes we talked about is blindness and being caught up walking in the dark. We should not be walking in darkness, but walking in the light of life, which is walking in the path that Christ would want us to be on. One way that we can follow God is by changing small things in our life, by simply setting our minds on things above and not on things of sin and the things of this world. Over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Do exactly what this verse tells you to do right here. Set our minds on things above and not on the things of this earth. Why focus on things that are only temporary, but aim for things that are everlasting, such as heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. One way to set our minds on things above and things beyond this earth is by giving God the praise and glory that He deserves. He gives us everything that we have here on earth, and the least that we can do is give Him thanks and praise that He deserves for giving that all to us. By setting our minds on things above, we can give God the glory and not to ourselves. Continuing in sin is a bad habit, as we have gone over, stuck in the same mindset of doing sins over and over again and doing what we would want to do. But we have to make that stop. This is why we have to be strong and brave for God and put on the armor of God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 6, where the scripture reading was read from this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against darkness, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and, having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to put on the armor of God and be prepared for the snares and the temptations that are going to come our way in the world. We have to be able to stand up against the evil foes that may come our way, being prepared by putting on the armor of God. But there is a verse that can make us feel a lot better over in Romans. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What a comforting thought to know that when God is for us, who can be against us? When it seems like everyone else in this world is constantly sinning and doesn't even care about God at times, it's good to know that God is right next to us on our side fighting with us. That's why it is so important to keep moving on. We get slowed down by sin at times, but God is still there pushing for us to keep pressing forward. Over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Never stop reaching forward for the things that may lie ahead of us in life. Keep pressing onwards towards the goal of heaven, and stop living in sin, and press on to things that are greater and up above, like heaven. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Thought it would only be appropriate to end with the verse that gave me the ideas to come up with this sermon, let alone come up with four sermons. When I read this verse, I never would have thought that I would have been able to come up with enough material for four sermons. But this verse is what triggered that. And one last thought. It's always so discouraging to see members that were once faithful, even ones that we love, fall away because they weren't following the truth. Too busy caught up in sin and living a life full of unrighteousness and wickedness. But as I've already learned in my life, you cannot make somebody else act how you would like them to. At times we get discouraged by other people not living how we know that they should be living. They're not living as a servant of God. But one thing I have learned is that you can change yourself. You can change the way that you act. At times you get frustrated by the way somebody else is acting. First, look at how you're acting, and then know that you are doing all that you can do to get yourself to heaven first. Every choice that we make, we have the power to control whether it is the right one. So start by securing your spot in heaven. Stop continuing in sin. As the dog lingers in the waste from its body, we can sometimes do the same with sin. But it's time to stop living and continuing in that sin, and more of living for God and in His path of light. Enough of continuing in sin, and more of being a faithful servant to God. At this time, we've gone over 9 different attitudes and mindsets of why we continue in sin. And maybe you've realized now that you have been continuing in sin. Would like the prayers of the brethren here. Or if you would like to become a Christian and start following God and being a servant and walking in His life, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.